Congregation may be seated. This morning, once again, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to encourage you to reach for your worship bulletin. If you would, go ahead and turn back to the inside portion of your bulletin. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. I trust that God will lay something on your heart this morning that He desires for you to take out this week into those places that He will ultimately call you and send you this week to show your faith in our Lord Jesus. There's also a place for you to further reflect upon the message that God will share with us this morning. There's some sermon take-home reflections that I hope and pray will be a blessing to your devotional time this week as you spend more time with our Lord in prayer and also in His Word. If you need something to write with, I encourage you to raise your hand. One of our ushers would be glad to get something into your hands for a small, small rental fee, of course. So just checking that you're with me. All right. This morning, how many of you can think back to a time in your childhood where you found yourself fascinated with connect the dot activities? You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen those before? Some of you have kids or grandkids or maybe an old spouse that likes to do these. Yeah, some of these are a slam dunk home run. They're so easy to do. Well, guess what? This morning, we're going to take some time to work through a few of these. They're not too hard, and I think you can handle them. So let's take a look. What do you suppose this image would be after you connect all the dots? Any guesses? An apple. Now here, I thought you'd say a Fort Wayne tin cap, right? Minus the cap, of course, right? Yeah, it's an easy one. You can almost see it before you connect the dots. So how about this one? You sure? Okay, all right. Yeah, it's a line. See, some of these pictures, before you even start to connect the dots, you start to have in your mind what it is or what it could be or maybe what it should be. All right, one more. How about this one? Are you sure? All right, let's check it out. Survey says sailboat. The interesting thing about all these connect the dot exercises and activities is that maybe before you even put your pen or your pencil on the paper, you have a sense of where the dots need to be connected and what order and maybe what the picture should ultimately look like. Perhaps one of the great draws to these activities is what I'd call the aha moment, where after you've taken time to connect the dots, you can take a step back and you can see the full picture for what it truly is. Now, these this morning were pretty easy. At least I hope they were. Didn't test you or pull you or stretch you too far. But there are a lot of these connect-the-dot exercises and activities that are a lot more labor-intensive, and maybe you've seen those. Maybe you've seen the ones that are more marketed and geared towards young adults or older adults that take a little more time than the ones we plowed through this morning, where it's not 30 dots, maybe it's 300 dots. But with more dots comes more involvement, more patience, more time, more speculation about maybe what the picture could be, but ultimately, an appreciation for what the picture is. This morning, as we continue with our journey through the story, we're going to see how God calls this man by the name of Paul to connect the dots for people in their place and their stage of life. And we're going to see and we're going to hear how God is calling us to the same mission today, to connect those dots in those places where God is calling you and me throughout the week to share our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So without further delay, why don't we take a moment to turn our attention to the screens up front and let's take a look at today's sermon video.
Jesus' followers continued to spread the word about him, including Saul, now called Paul, and his friend Barnabas. They traveled by foot and boat, inviting other followers of Jesus to join them in sharing the good news about Jesus. In each new city they visited, Paul would go first to the synagogue to share with the Jewish people that the Messiah had come. Everywhere he went, people believed what Paul was teaching and chose to start following the way of Jesus. But some simply couldn't believe what Paul was saying, and others were threatened by Paul's message and began trying to find ways to stop him. A few times, Paul and his friends were attacked and beaten so severely that they almost died. They were also thrown in jail. Despite this opposition, Paul kept telling others about Jesus. One night, sitting in prison, Paul and his fellow worker Silas began to sing songs to God in the middle of the night. When they did, a violent earthquake shook the jail, and all of the prison doors came open. The prison guard was so distraught that he took out his own sword to kill himself until Paul shouted out, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The guard was so overwhelmed by Paul and Silas that he asked them to tell him and his family about Jesus and about God's ways. In each city, Paul helped Jesus' followers organize themselves into communities called churches. After he left these churches, he would often write letters back to them to encourage, correct, and teach them to live more like Jesus. These letters were read aloud in the churches over and over and have continued to be read by followers of Jesus for thousands of years.
So last week, as we were taking a look at the growth and the birth of the early church, we see that God called certain people, apostles, to go and share the gospel. And we saw how God called a certain man by the name of Saul, whose name would change to Paul. I'm not sure how that worked out at the Social Security office, if you've ever been there and kind of gone through that. So his name is changed from Saul to Paul. And what God does for this Paul is he sets his life on a trajectory of gospel proclamation, connecting with men, women, and children wherever he goes, connecting them to the gospel of Jesus. So to look at it this way, God daily puts Paul in a place to connect the dots for people who don't know who Jesus is. Let me say that again. God puts Paul in situations and relationships where he's able to connect the dots for people who don't know about Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example of that. For example, Paul has the opportunity to connect the dots in a place called Pisidian Antioch, or modern-day Turkey, if we could look at it that way. In Acts chapter 13, we see this opportunity given to the Apostle Paul. And what I'd like to do is, as we take a look at two specific examples this morning, look and listen for the ways in which God is opening up an opportunity for Paul to do just that, to connect the dots on who Jesus is. And as you do that, think about the places God is opening up for you to connect the dots for somebody else, for who Jesus is. Let me share this with you. Acts 13. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. And this is Paul speaking. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised to our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you are not able to obtain under the law of Moses. You see, what's going on here is this. Paul is connecting the dots for a group of people who have maybe heard a little bit about Jesus, but don't quite know how to connect all the dots. They have the background. They have the Old Testament. They have the law. They have the prophets. They have Moses. They have Jeremiah. They have David. They have those dots. And they've been looking for this Messiah guy, and they've been trying to find out maybe where the dots are going to get connected, but they haven't quite landed there yet. So enter the Apostle Paul. And what he does through the working of the Holy Spirit is he begins to connect the dots on who Jesus is, that he's the Messiah they've been looking for all along. Let me ask you this question. Where is your Pisidian Antioch? What does that mean? Where is the relationship, the context, the situation where you know that the person you're encountering knows maybe something about Jesus, but they don't know the whole picture? Maybe they've heard he's a great teacher. He was a good man. We've heard that before, right? But maybe they don't know that he's the Son of God who died and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins and mine. And he's the one that we can bank on every day of the week. Where is that place for you? You see, not long ago, I had the opportunity to sit down with somebody who was struggling with this. And maybe you resonate with this. Because of a certain life situation, parts of Jesus had kind of fallen off the radar. What part of Jesus? The promise. The promise that no matter what is going on in your life and mine, that God has a plan for good. Because of the situation going on in this person's life, it was like Jesus just fell off the map. Or maybe the part of him that promised to stand with them no matter what and to work things out for the good. Where is your Pisidian Antioch? The place where you need to see or somebody else needs to see the whole picture of who Jesus is. Where is God calling you to connect those dots this week? So God takes Paul from this Pisidian Antioch and he moves him to another location. But before we get there, I realize that some of us maybe need to see it. We kind of need to see what's going on in Scripture. So let me paint it this way. Sometimes people hear just a little bit of Jesus. And just like this picture that we felt was so easy to paint and connect before, well, maybe sometimes people have a picture of Jesus, but there's only parts of him that have been connected. Only certain promises have been offered to them. Only certain truths from God's word have been offered to them. And what you get is you get an incomplete picture of who Jesus is. So once again, I ask you, where is God calling you to connect the dots this week in a holistic way to give the big picture of who Jesus is? Or maybe where is that place for you? Where do you need to be reminded of some of God's promises? Where do you need to be reminded of God's grace for you this week? Or his love that's unconditional, that you don't have to work for it? Or his patience, or his forgiveness, that are free. God moves Paul onto another place called Athens. And once again, in this place, God is giving Paul the opportunity to connect the dots. And here's the thing about Athens, in case you didn't know. It's a religious marketplace. Worship what you want, when you want, how you want. Pick your altar, pick your idol. Pick how much money you want to give and walk away with maybe a little bit of assurance that you may have been heard. And it's in this religious marketplace that Paul sees an altar. And it has this inscription as follows, to an unknown God. If you were with us this morning in our adult Bible class, you would have heard the narrator of our video say this. The people of Athens were so in tune and aware of the need for spirituality or religious institution and legalism that they left an altar there unmarked just in case they happened to be missing a deity they should be worshiping or giving money or sacrifice to. So Paul contextualizes the situation and he says, here's a place for me to step in and to make known what has not been made known. Or in other words, to connect the dots where people didn't even know there were dots. This is what happens. This is what he says. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. See, Paul realizes over here in this place called Pisidian Antioch, people had some of the dots. They were able to maybe connect some pieces, but they needed the whole picture. Well, in this place, he realizes that he's got to contextualize this and he's got to make this applicable where they are. You see, they don't even know what dots to connect. In some ways, they don't even have dots to connect. So let me ask you this question. Where is your Athens? Where's that relationship, that location, that situation, that place where someone knows nothing about Jesus? They've heard nothing about the love and grace of God for them that would see God send his own son to the cross to suffer for the sins that you and I have committed so that we would receive grace, mercy, forgiveness, and hope. Where's that place where people are wrapped up in the world but know nothing about Jesus? Not long ago, I had what I'd call a run-in encounter, and it wasn't because I'm a pastor. I truly believe it's right place, right time, just as God calls you and me on a daily basis to right place, right time moments where we can make Jesus known through the work of the Holy Spirit. It happened like this. Someone came up and had some questions about world religions and activities and what it means to be involved in something like that and what it is that actually gives people hope, what it is that actually gives people forgiveness or a sense of they can drop their baggage off somewhere else and leave away just a little less burdened. And it was that moment that God was giving me and the person with me an opportunity to contextualize it and to bring Jesus where maybe Jesus hadn't been before through the work of the Holy Spirit. Where is that place for you? Where has God opened up an opportunity for you to make Jesus known, maybe in a way that he hasn't been known before? You know, you might look at it like this. Once again, this is one of the first images that we connected the dots with this morning, right? And it was an easy one, wasn't it? A slam dunk, home run. Fort Wayne Tin Caps. But what if you've never seen a picture like that before? What if you've never seen those dots in that order? What if when somebody handed you a pen or a pencil, you didn't even know where to start? There are people today who don't even know where to start when it comes to knowing about forgiveness, unconditional love, grace, connected to the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus. So I ask you once again, where is your Athens? At the end of that passage we just read, Paul being in Athens, we see a really interesting thing happen, a special moment that God gives to Paul's audience. Let me share this with you. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear more again. We want to hear you again on this subject. If I could paraphrase that this morning, it would be this. God intentionally put a comma in the conversation so that people could hear more about Jesus. More dots could be connected. Where is that place for you? Maybe God's already opened up a conversation for you with somebody else, or maybe a faith-sharing moment or an opportunity. Maybe that's with a coworker, a classmate, a neighbor, somebody in your own family, where you've started the conversation, and for some reason, the conversation, it kind of took a hiatus. Or it took a vacation to Florida while it's cold in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Where has God put a comma in the conversation so that you can revisit it this week? What's that look like for you? What dots need to be connected for that person in your life? Or maybe for you? What dots need to be connected for you this morning? How many of us here this morning need to hear more about the forgiveness of God for us, or the grace of God for us, or the love of God for us? How many of us here this morning need to hear that no matter what we've done this week, no matter whether it's been verbal or nonverbal, intentional or unintentional, that God invites us to leave the baggage here and to walk away burden-free? How many of us need to have those dots connected this week that no matter what's going on in your life, whether it's a financial season, a relational season, a health-related season, that God is still with you in there? How many of you need to hear that those dots are connected for you because of Jesus? The question I'd like to leave and end with this morning is the question I'd like for you to leave with this morning. It's just this. Where is God calling you to connect the dots for gospel witness this week? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us your word and your Holy Spirit, and for connecting the dots for us when we didn't even know there were dots to connect. We thank you for calling us to faith through the working of the Holy Spirit, and for those who loved us enough in our own lives to share the truth about Jesus, the whole picture, the part about the love, the part about the grace, the part about the mercy, the part about the cross and the empty tomb. Father, you've blessed us with relationships as well, and we recognize that what we share with one person may not work the same way with another. So we pray, as you worked in Paul's life, you would work in our lives to contextualize those situations and to connect the dots accordingly through the working of your Holy Spirit. Sometimes, Lord, we stand in the way, and we wrestle with what might be said in response. But we ask, Lord, that you would take away our fears, our worries, our doubts, and we ask that you would help us to speak freely about Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.